From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Kansel, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much, Carl. Whoa! Thank you so much. We got a great show for you today. Dahlia Lithwick of Slate and NPR's Day Today is going to show up later to help us suss out the Supreme Court thing. But we learned something about our president this week. There was a front page story in the New York Times one day about how gay groups are complaining loudly that Barack Obama has not kept any of his promises to them from the campaign. But also this week, Barack Obama got a hankering for a burger and went with his entourage to a burger place. And right in front of the press cameras, he orders a cheeseburger with Dijon mustard. Dijon mustard on a burger. So there you have it. President Obama, he's afraid to help the gays, but not afraid to do something really gay. There you go. But do not be afraid to give us a call. Play our games. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Allison from Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Ah, beautiful Fort Lee, I know it well. What do you do there?
I'm actually an Episcopal priest.
Are you really?
Yes, in a small little parish in this small little, odd little town.
Wow. Are you allowed to do this? I don't know.
I didn't ask anybody's permission.
There you go.
Yeah.
Isn't that, in fact, how the Episcopal Church, the Anglican Church, started? I believe it was King Henry VIII wanted
exactly
to be on a game show. And the Vatican said no, and so he said, to heck with that, I will start my own church.
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, we'd like to welcome you and your schismatic sect to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a comedian whose first CD, I Heart Jokes, is out now. Plus, she will be performing at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Monday, May 18th. I'm talking about Ms. Paula Poundstone right there.
Hey, Allison.
Next, say hello to the woman behind the syndicated column Ask Amy and the author of the memoir, The Mighty Queens of Freeville, Ms. Amy Dickinson.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Lastly, comedian, writer, and director, Mr. Paul Provenza. Right
hello,
there.
Allison.
Hello, Paul.
Well, welcome to the show, Allison. We're going to start the show today with a very new game, one we're calling
Ask Carl.
Now, when you've got personal problems, you write to Amy here. But when newsmakers have problems, they write to Carl. Carl is now going to read you three plaintive letters from his inbox. Each one is sincere. Each one is full of pain. Each one is completely made up. Your job, tell us who's writing or what they're writing about. Do that 2 times out of 3. You will get Carl giving advice to your friends, probably something like, leave a message at the beep. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, Carl, what is the first letter seeking help from a newsmaker in your inbox?
Dear Carl, finding the right person is so hard, especially a female, Hispanic, gay, conservative, liberal, originalist, activist, 30-year-old legal genius, who's not afraid of Antonin Scalia. Any tips? Signed, hiding under the desk like John Kennedy.
That was, of course, the President of the United States. He's worried about finding the right what?
Supreme Court Justice.
Exactly right, the nominee for the Supreme Court. For those out there who doubted American efficiency and sense of purpose, you'll be happy to know that we are now slandering judicial nominees before they're actually nominated. Beat that, Japan. A nominee to replace David Souter has yet to be named by the president, but apparently because Britney Spears has been wearing underwear lately, we've all decided to gossip about this. It's widely presumed on the left that Obama will appoint a woman, a Latino, or both at once. It's presumed on the right that Obama will appoint a communist lesbian with a nose ring and a Roe v. Wade rocks my world tramp stamp tattoo. They're gearing up.
I still don't understand why Souter's leaving.
You know, not really clear. That's what we should be gossiping about.
He's in his 60s,
yeah.
Right?
Didn't he just get laid off?
Yeah, I know. Reduction in force over the Supreme Court.
That's right.
Budget cuts.
They had to let some. No, he's young by Supreme Court standards, isn't he?
Yeah, and the median age on the Supreme Court is 106. So.
Apparently his mom's making him quit because the demands of Little League and homework combined with the Supreme Court are too much.
By the way, we'll be talking about this later with Dahlia Lithwick, who is an expert on such matters as a correspondent at the Supreme Court. All right, Carl, what's your next letter from a plaintive newsmaker?
Dear Carl, we were the cool kids. We got invited to parties, got the cheerleaders, started the coolest wars. But now look at us. No one even wants to sit at our table at lunch. What happened? Signed, even Nader laughs at us.
So what group out there is feeling a little lost these days?
It has to be the Republican
Party. It is, in fact, the Republican Party. Having lost their majority in Congress and then the White House, the Republicans apparently decided that the problem is that they aren't zealous enough. You know, they assume the voters are saying to the Republicans, sure, you nominated Sarah Palin to be vice president. That's sort of crazy. But where are the spittle-flecked accusations of creeping socialist dictatorship? But as the Republicans, this is the problem, as they become more hardcore in opposition to Obama, they keep losing popularity. Hundreds of thousands of voters, and pointedly one senator, have switched to the Democrats in recent weeks. But the final blow came when none other than Joe the Plumber announced he was leaving the Republican Party.
No.
Too crazy for Joe the Plumber. It's a shame because he had promised to install low-flow toilets in the GOP's underground lair. Carl, what's our last letter?
Dear Carl, I've taken the liberty of translating this from Klingon in advance. The new film is an outrage. Just saw the preview, and it's clear the producers never read Scotty's Transwarp Manifesto. What trash! And my question is, should I only see it 8 times or 12 times?
So that was somebody with a bone to pick about what new movie blockbuster.
Oh, I don't know the title, but it's the Star Trek crowd when they're young.
Yes, it's Star Trek. That's the name of the movie, Star Trek. The latest, that's very good. The latest Star Trek movie, called Star Trek, is an attempt to reboot the franchise by casting younger, attractive actors in the roles that were originally created 40 years ago. And they spend a lot of money on special effects, and they'll hopefully make all these kids understand what their grandparents have been nattering on about for years. In my day, the female crew of the Enterprise wore short skirts, and we liked it. And the movie does pay some tributes to elements from the classic series. For example, Leonard Nimoy, our old friend, he makes a cameo. And William Shatner's toupee appears as a tribble.
Are the special effects different, or are they still moving the camera to the right while the actors go to the left?
I don't know. I mean, this time the rocks are made of the highest quality styrofoam. Paul, you'll be happy to know.
But do they, like, flip open the phasers? Is the technology sort of the same?
Well, yes. I mean, what's...
Now it's Verizon.
You know, you joke. But there is actually a cell phone product placement. You wonder, how could they get a product placements into a movie set 300 years in the future? And it's like, assume corporate longevity.
And they, the Enterprise is built by Chrysler.
That's how you know it really is science fiction.
It's the Chrysler K Enterprise.
Yeah. Carl, how did Allison do on our quiz?
Allison was perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers. Allison, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done.
That's exciting.
Well done. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you.
Take care.
I enjoyed the show. Thanks a lot.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Paula, the swine flu epidemic seems to be dying out, at least the panic, but not entirely. Over in Afghanistan, there are no cases of the disease. But just to be on the safe side, the government in Afghanistan ordered the quarantine of what?
Al-Qaeda.
No.
No, that would have solved a lot of problems
exactly.
If that had happened.
All right, so they ordered the...
swine flu.
Yeah,
They're afraid of swine flu.
They ordered something quarantined?
Quarantined, yes, to prevent swine flu.
Pigs?
Yeah, well, not pigs, but pig. The country only has one.
No!
Here's the thing. Afghanistan stop me if you've heard this, is a somewhat strict Muslim country where pork products of any kind are illegal. So in the entire nation of Afghanistan, there is one, uno, pig. It is in the zoo in Kabul. And it normally wanders around and gets to hang out with the other livestock, but they've now quarantined it, put it aside, kept it by itself.
It sounds like they'd done that right from the beginning.
No. I mean, this is the reaction. Oh, my God, it's swine flu. We got to get rid of the pig. I mean, God forbid they get chicken pox or get dog tired. This is what's bizarre about it. The pig is the only pig in the entire country. It's never seen another pig. How does it know it's a pig? It probably thinks it just happens to be a very small, extremely smart cow.
This little piggy went to market.
And
the same little piggy had to come home.
And then it ate roast beef.
This same little piggy had to eat roast beef.
Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Elizabeth from Lennoxville, Quebec.
Hey, how are things in Quebec?
Things are lovely in Quebec, despite the rain.
Oh, I understand. Now, do you actually listen to our show in Quebec? Is it broadcast there?
Yes. We're close enough to the Vermont border that we can listen to through VPR, but I use the podcast.
When we're broadcasting in Quebec, am I immediately followed by someone saying the same thing in French?
That would make it twice as interesting, but no.
Oh, I just thought that automatically happened when you get to Canada. I wish that.
Oh, no, not quite.
Ah, well. Well, Elizabeth, it's very nice to have you with us. Now, you, of course, are going to play this game where you have to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Elizabeth's topic?
Mickey, Minnie, I need to see you in my office.
Disney's Magic Kingdom, in which happiness is not only encouraged but enforced, is going through some changes. This week we heard about a very important change in how Disneyland will work going forward. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about how things are going to be a bit different at the happiest place on Earth. Choose the real story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Absolutely.
All right, first let's hear from Paul Prevenza.
Disneyland will no longer be dedicating staff just to scan riders on Splash Mountain who feel the need to flash for the cameras at the end of the ride. It's been an ongoing game for some women to whip off their tops and have their photos displayed where riders buy the souvenir pictures after the ride. This place needs bare breasts, said one flashing enthusiast, if it really wants to call itself the happiest place on Earth. Disney claims the move to use its staff for other more important purposes is justified, as in the past 10 years, actual inappropriate behavior by guests is rare.
So, those of you who like to flash your breasts at the end of Splash Mountain, you can get away with it now because they're stopped watching for you. Your next story of a change of the Magic Kingdom comes from Amy Dickinson.
Generations of children have thrilled to the slow-speed pleasures of the famous Dumbo ride at Disneyland, but starting this summer, the candy-colored elephants won't be flying the friendly skies over Anaheim. Disney's decided to dismantle the ride and replace it with a thrill ride they're calling the Hannah Montana Experience. In it, children of all ages can virtually pretend they're singing in a concert, posing for the paparazzi, and enjoying unlimited costume changes. Kara Swisher, new Disney vice president for acquisitions, landed in Goofy's doghouse this week for blogging. She said, I don't get Dumbo. What does Dumbo stand for? What's Dumbo's motivation? I look at Dumbo and just think, trans fats. No one wants to think about trans fats at Disneyland. Hannah, she's cool. She's young. She looks good.
No more Dumbo. Some more Hannah. Your last story of things being different at Disney comes from Paula Poundstone.
The Imagineers at Disneyland have found a way to raise the happy meter one more notch. Snow White and her forest friends will be cleaning the bathrooms. The bathroom experience at Disneyland, although excellent, has never been magical, says spokeswoman Shelby Sterling. And let's face it, who cleans better than Snow White? Snow White herself will clean the sinks, refill foaming soap, distribute hand towels, mop, and of course, whistle while she works in the ladies' room. The actual toilet cleaning and trash removal will be done by her forest friends, the birds and chipmunks, whose tails are retractable for easy turning in the stalls. The men's rooms will be attended solely by the forest friends, as they have no male characters that clean.
All right, then. If you go to Disneyland sometime soon, you will discover one of these three changes. The first from Paul Provenza, that the employees are no longer checking to see if people are flashing the cameras at the end of Splash Mountain, as they have for 10 years, because people have just stopped doing it. The second from Amy Dickinson, the Dumbo ride, soon to be gone to be replaced by a Hannah Montana attraction. Or from Paula Poundstone, the people cleaning the bathrooms, it's Snow White and her forest friends. Which of these is the real story about a change at the Disney theme park?
Well, I think I'm going to have to go with Paul's query about they're stopping checking for the topless renegades.
Really?
Yeah, it makes it a little more fun.
Makes it a little bit more fun. Okay, that's your choice then, is Paul's story of the end of Flasher Watch at Splash Mountain. Well, to
Definitely.
Bring you the story, we spoke to an expert on Disneyland.
Well, Disney's dumping its camera cops. Lots of companies are cutting back, and Disney decided it didn't want to spend the money to have one person deleting inappropriate photos before they came up on the screen.
Well, there you are. So, interesting news. That was Robert Niles. He's the editor of the blog ThemeParkInsider.com, talking about people flashing the ride cameras at Disneyland. Congratulations. It was so much interesting news here. First of all, Paul earns a point for being truthful.
Yay.
Secondly, you, Elizabeth, have won our prize, Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Lastly, if you've ever wanted to flash the camera at Splash Mountain, now is the time.
Excellent.
Well done.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for playing, Elizabeth.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now the game where we ask experts on one topic about another topic entirely just to throw them off. But not this week, at least not at first. Everybody's talking about the new Supreme Court justice. We thought we'd check in with somebody who knows something about it. Dahlia Lithwick, she writes about the Supreme Court for Newsweek and for Slate. She was a contributor to NPR's Day Today. She is either the funniest legal writer or the most lawyerly comedy writer in America. And we're happy to have her with us. Dahlia Lithwick, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. So, a lot of questions. Why is David Souter leaving the court? It's this cushy job. You work like 8 months a year. You got clerks doing all your work. Why would anybody give this up? What's the deep, dark secret?
Well, the deep, dark secret is that even in the realm of incredibly strange, antisocial, solitary Supreme Court people, David Souter was in a class of his own, weird, solitary,
really?
Strange, antisocial. Yeah, he was notorious for writing with a fountain pen on a pad. He got a TV from Warren Rudman that he never bothered to plug in.
Whoa.
Lunch every day is an apple, core, seeds, and all. My favorite moment at oral argument was the Anna Nicole Smith case a couple years ago, all the other justices were craning to see where she was, and he was trying to figure out who she was.
There you go. So he's weird, but why did he leave? Did he just...
Well, you know, he's been saying for years that he has the best job in the world in the worst city in the world.
He doesn't like Washington.
He did not like D.C.
What's wrong with D.C.? Just nice weather, horrible backstabbing, slimy people? I mean...
He loves New Hampshire, and he couldn't wait to get back. So
but this didn't occur to him before he took the job?
He put in his 19 years, and then he said... Probably had a little to do with Obama being the president, but he just hightailed it out of there as soon as he could.
Right. This is interesting. I found this out that there's really no qualifications for, I mean, there's no required qualifications for Supreme Court justice. Obama can name anybody he wanted.
That's right. You don't even have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be, you certainly don't have to be a judge.
Wow.
So I do have a shot.
Right.
Well, I mean, we've heard, you know, people talking about Sonia Sotomayor and other people who we might name. I mean, is there anybody out there that people are talking about that are really out there? For example, I saw Al Gore was being talked about somewhere.
Right. Well, part of the problem is Obama announced last week he wanted somebody with that magical quality of empathy.
Empathy.
Oprah's popping up on
the Oh!
Wait,
my
God. That is a joke, right?
Yep.
You're joking, right?
I'm joking. checking.
Oh, darn.
Okay. Now, how frightening is it that we had to check?
No, wait a minute. It would be great if Oprah became a Supreme Court Justice. We would all get cars. What? Why are you down on this? Who else are you hearing about, Dahlia?
In the equally whacked category, I got an email from someone suggesting that Bill Clinton had the requisite empathy to serve on the court.
Right.
And then there's just a lot of women. It's pretty much a sisterhood of the traveling robes. Yeah.
Really? Wow. Dahlia, talk to me about the Supreme Court press corps, you guys who cover the court. You're sort of a high-minded bunch, right?
We are. We're just congenital nerds.
Really?
So you'll come out of an oral argument and you'll hear all the reporters in the press corps going, "Oh, my God, did you see what happened to the dormant commerce clause in there?" And you want to say, "Did anyone notice that Clarence Thomas just slept for 2 hours?"
Okay, what is the deal with Clarence Thomas? He never says a word, right?
He don't talk, yeah.
He don't talk. Why not?
Well, there's all sorts of different stories. He says he has this Georgia accent that people used to tease him about. He says...
And he didn't know that before he took the job? What is this about these Supreme Court justices just now discovering their little foibles?
It's in Washington and you have to talk. Who told me? Hey, I want to talk to you specifically about one of your colleagues, our very own Nina Totenberg. Do you get to work with her? We just imagine her as sort of the queen of the den there, the doyenne of the Supreme Court press corps.
Well, here's something you don't know about the Supreme Court press corps. They make us sit in order of importance.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awful.
How do they determine the order of importance?
It's like a royal wedding. There's an
or
a,
Salem
there's
an, witch trial.
There's an A row. There's a B row. It goes all the way back to J. And then as you walk in, they give you a little card that says, "Oh, hello, Miss Totenberg, you're A1. And hello, Pete Williams, you're A2. And hello, Dahlia Lithwick, you're J11. And, you know, it's very hierarchical.
Do they change it from day to day, depending on what they thought of your last story?
When I write horrible things about the justices, I find myself not just behind a column, but behind a curtain behind
really?
A column.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Has anyone tried to take away Nina's primo seat?
I don't think so.
Would you dare? I mean, really? I have to know, does she rehearse those, like, both sides things she does? Plaintiff, defendant. You know how she's always reading?
Reenacting.
Does
she reenacts the
reenacts the transcripts. Does she practice that?
You know, I don't know if she practices, but I got to say, she gets the inflection spot on, and those don't show up in the transcript,
yeah.
So she has some kind of crazy photographic ear memory.
I do think that her renditions of Clarence Thomas's baffling silences are stunning.
I hope that the next confirmation hearings should have questions that apply to these little persnickety things.
Like, do you eat the apple and the core?
Yeah, and they should say stuff to the potential nominee like, "You know, you have a funny accent. Does that bother you?"
Because it's killing me.
What's the longest you have ever been out of your state?
Who's the wacky one in the group? Who's like the nut justice?
That would be the one that you had on this show, which is Stephen Breyer.
Yeah, Justice Breyer, our old pal.
He's just kind of this... for one thing, I don't know if you've ever seen him. He looks exactly like Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And it's eerie, and then he does this thing with his hands. It's kind of this excellent thing.
Excellent.
So right off, you're in a world of two-dimensional cartoon characters, and it just keeps going from there.
That's great.
You know, he listens.
Yes, okay, I will be sitting in the X section.
Yes, exactly. You'll be sitting somewhere behind the Washington Monument. Well, Dahlia Lithwick, we're glad to have you with us, and we have, in fact, asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You Are the Greatest Actor Ever.
That's right. You're William Shatner. Oh. There is this new Star Trek movie. We're skeptical about how good it could be because there is no William Shatner in it. Captain Kirk is played by somebody else. And just to prove our point about Shatner's eternal essential greatness. We're going to ask you three questions about the original, in our view, only true captain of the Starship Enterprise. You got two questions right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl, doing a spoken word version of Rocket Man on the listener's home answering machine.
And I'm going to be high as a kite by then.
Carl, who is Dahlia Lithwick playing for?
Peter, she's playing for Joshua Firth of Stamford, Connecticut.
All right, ready to go?
Bring it.
Here's your first question. Pre-Star Trek's Shatner had a varied career as an actor, including what distinctive achievement? A, playing all the roles in a one-man stage version of the musical Showboat. B, starring in the only motion picture to be filmed using the made-up language Esperanto. Or C, drawing the first ever FCC obscenity fine when he said damn on a live TV broadcast.
I'm gonna go with C, the FCC
obscenity fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him. But in fact, what he did was star in the 1965 horror movie Incubus, which is entirely in the made-up universal language Esperanto.
No.
True fact.
Oh.
All right, next question, Dahlia. Still got two chances. The period after the original Star Trek was canceled, and before the next movie was greenlit in the late 70s, was a tough one for Shatner. His career as a B-list celeb had some lowlights, including which of these? A, being banned more or less from the game show The $20,000 Pyramid after he got angry and threw a chair on the set. B, appearing as Captain Perk at personal appearances after Paramount told him he couldn't use the real character's name. Or C, launching a failed drink powder like Tang called Shatner's Space Shot.
Well, These C's are calling to me. I think he launched a failed drink.
You think he launched a failed drink?
I do.
Shatner's Space Shot.
Yes.
No. He was on a $20,000 pyramid. And you know, in that game, you're supposed to give hints to the contestant so that they can guess a word. You're not supposed to use the word. He used the word. Buzzer went off. She was disqualified. He goes berserk. I mean, really scary. He's throwing chairs. The contestant runs for her life. It was something. You still have one more chance here. Just get one right. For all his ubiquity, and he's been everywhere now, William Shatner plays a role in pop culture that most people don't know about. What is it? A, in the movie Halloween, the murderer wears a Captain Kirk mask throughout the film. B, rapper Eminem said Shatner inspired him to pursue a career in music because he also can't sing. Or C, according to Kiefer Sutherland, every episode of 24 features one sometimes very subtle Shatner reference.
Ooh. Well, this is just creepy. Are you ready?
Yes.
William Shatner, Canadian.
Yes.
Dahlia Lithwick, Canadian.
Yes.
Kiefer Sutherland, Canadian.
Ooh.
Yes.
So I gotta go with C.
So you're sort of a Canadian cabal is what you're saying.
I gotta go with C. It's like karma.
It is.
And it's wrong.
It is. I'm so sorry. In fact, it's A, again, in the movie Halloween, the murderer, Michael Myers, is wearing a Captain Kirk mask, painted white with the eye holes widened slightly, but it's Bill Shatner's face the whole time.
I did not know that.
It's a true fact.
Wow. I didn't know that.
So, Carl, how did Dahlia Lithwick do on our quiz?
See, you didn't do, Peter. No correct answers, so no win for Joshua Firth.
Oh.
Verdict guilty.
Ooh. Sorry, Joshua.
Appeal rejected.
You can't appeal this one.
Dahlia Lithwick is a contributing editor at Newsweek, a senior editor at Slate.com. She covers the Supreme Court and other legal matters. Dahlia Lithwick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies.
Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Paulie, you know the Las Vegas Tourist Board slogan, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, yep. Their new ad recommends that somebody make his new public statements there to make sure nobody hears them. Who is the new poster boy for Vegas?
Who's the new poster boy?
Yeah, somebody who they say should only make statements there because, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Oh, I see. Should only make statements there.
Right.
Statements. Thomas.
No. Oh. Statements like, for example, oh, nobody should fly on planes or subways because.
Oh, Joe Biden.
Yes, Joe Biden. The vice president of the U.S. has knocked off Carrot Top as the face of Sin City. Thanks to his ability to slice through Obama's talking points like a white tiger through Roy. After Biden gassed on last week about how we should all be afraid, very afraid of the swine flu virus, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Bureau took out a full-page ad in USA Today. It said, quote, Mr. Vice President, if you had said it here, no one would have known.
Is there something within the United States Constitution that makes it so that it is mandatory that the Vice President
be ignored? Yes, it's Article 3.
Somehow nutty. Because that has consistently been the case. You know, going back to the potato thing, any vice president has always just been like...
The shooting incident with
they're
Cheney.
Sort of the Barney to the nation's Andy all the time.
Paul, on Wednesday, reports of chaos, riots, at least one sit-in protest came in from across the country as Americans tried to capitalize on what?
Bailout money.
No. It was a finger-licking disaster.
Is this when they ran out of chicken?
No, they ran out of chicken. Yeah. Yes, they ran out of Kentucky Fried Chicken or Kentucky Grilled Chicken.
There you go.
On Wednesday, Oprah, you've heard of her, put up a coupon for free chicken on her website as a promotion for KFC. Everybody in America downloaded the coupon, and they went to lunch at exactly the same time. The computer server crashed. Managers at stores overwhelmed refused to honor the coupons. In North Carolina, cops blocked the doors of a KFC while angry customers raged outside. In New York, customers staged what some called a 60s-style sit-in, demanding their grilled chicken. Colonel Sanders could not be reached for comment, but a KFC spokesperson said he is working on a new secret recipe, tear gas, with 7 herbs and toxins. I can't be surprised that... This did not go well. I mean, Oprah could offer a coupon for free rabies and 5 million people would sign up.
I don't think... I wouldn't think her core audience would be rushing out to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Why not?
Well,
whatever she tells them to do, Paul. It's like...
Yeah, but she won't be eating there.
If she told her audience, everybody to run to the West Coast, the country would tilt.
Tip over. Yeah.
Okay.
We'd all slide into the sea.
That's how I got my rabies.
Paul, a small plane crashed near Tacoma, Washington late last week, but miraculously nobody was hurt. Officials attribute the lack of injuries to the fact that the plane's fall was cushioned by what?
Plane's fall, Tacoma, Washington. A layer of aroma.
Smell's not off. Thankfully, there was no one waiting in line to use them.
Oh.
Cushioned by a porta potty?
Cushioned by a bunch of porta potties.
Cushioned by an entire herd of porta potties?
A fleet.
Yes, no, the collective noun for porta potties is loo. A loo of porta potties.
Free range?
Remember the rush of excitement we all experienced when Captain Sully landed the plane on the Hudson River? Well, for whatever reason, the pilot of this Cessna 182 that crashed into a bunch of portable toilets was not invited onto the Today Show. I don't know why. According to the captain's log, the plane experienced engine failure shortly after takeoff, and when he noticed the little knobs on all the little potty doors were green, not red.
Hey.
So, of course, brace for impact.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
So he was speaking into a recording device, and he said, I'm going down. Hold on, don't worry, I see some porta potties.
Well, you had like a 747 and the Hudson River.
Yeah.
And this was just a little Cessna, so you need a smaller body of water.
Exactly.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. And now you can follow Carl and me and the rest of the gang on Twitter at twitter.com/waitwait. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is David from Denver, Colorado.
Hey, David, how are you?
Doing great, you guys.
What do you do there in Denver?
I work for Uncle Sam, actually.
What do you do specifically for Uncle Sam?
Department of Justice.
Department of Justice. Ooh.
Hey, let me say this right now. I was out of town.
And you're being coy about it, so we're afraid you're dangerous and clandestine.
On the advice of my attorneys, I must plead the fifth.
All right.
Wow.
About that. Well, welcome to our show, David. You're going to play the Limerick Challenge. That means that Carl is going to read three news-related limericks, the last word or phrase missing from each. Of course, supply it 2 times out of 3. You'll win our prize. Ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Here's your first limerick.
Coco Vamp, then a nap on a bench. For his hunger took hours to quench. Monsieur's need for leisure exceeds every measure. He needs oodles of rest, cause he's...
French.
Right! Once again, the French have an excuse to feel superior to the rest of us. According to a new study, French people have claimed the title as the world's best eaters and sleepers. The average French person spends almost 9 hours sleeping every night, more than an hour longer than your average Japanese person. The French spend 2.5 hours a day drinking and eating French food, like French fries, French bread, French's mustard. Americans, on the other hand, we spend less than 80 minutes on meals, and that's just if there's a long line at the drive-thru. Americans, ever competitive, have now promised to suck their 96-ounce Slurpees more slowly. Very good. Here is your next limerick.
At Al-Qaeda, we've taken much flap. They say culturally, we took a nap. We're updating faster with Flash, Al Grandmaster. Yes, Al-Qaeda is learning to...
Can I get a hint?
Wait a minute. You're the federal government. You're supposed to know this.
It doesn't look good, does it?
No. All right, but yeah, you can hear the limerick again. How's that?
Sure, that works.
At Al-Qaeda, we've taken much flap. They say culturally, we took a nap. We're updating faster with Flash, Al Grandmaster. Yes, Al-Qaeda is learning to...
Map?
Not map.
Not kicking the clue.
No, how about...
Department of Justice for you.
Yeah, I know. How about rap?
Rap.
Al-Qaeda is learning to rap. If Al-Qaeda has one problem, it's that they're just not connecting with the kids. What better way, though, to win today's youth to jihad? Them with the hip-hop videos. That's just what Al-Shabaab, the militant Islamic wing in Somalia, they've decided. They've released a new 18-minute video complete with rap lyrics. Here's a sample. Mortar by mortar, shell by shell, only going to stop when I send them to hell, which you have to admit is a pretty good beat. A spokesman for MTV was not impressed. He said the video was too long. He says he didn't know for sure if the dancers in the burqas were attractive or even women. But he did think the Lil Wayne cameo was a nice touch. Well, here you have one more chance. This is exciting. If you get this one, you'll still win. Here is your last limerick.
At the mass, instead of wafers, serve nachos. Preach about Magdalene. Make it a hot show. Don't sing songs sad and grim. Write some hymns made for him. Men might show up if church were more...
Macho?
Macho, macho, macho church. According to a new online survey... Men would be more likely to attend church if it were manlier. Instead of, quote, sentimental lovey-dovey songs, men want butch songs like Onward Christian Soldiers, and instead of sermons, maybe Ultimate Fighting Championship bouts and a widescreen, you know? One of the men who did the survey said, quote, Jesus recruited a bunch of 12 ordinary blokes before he began his ministry proper. What appeals to men is doing stuff together, sports teams, fishing, pub quizzes, paintballing, going out for a beer, unquote. So good news, change is coming. Two churches for men, communion wafers and wine, will be replaced with nachos and beer, and the Apostles' Creed will now be burped. Carl, how did David do in our quiz?
Well enough, Peter. 2 correct answers. David, you win our prize.
Well done, David. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, guys.
Now, Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Paul Provenza and Paula Poundstone each has 4 points. Amy Dickinson has one.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Amy, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. On Wednesday, the governor of blank signed a bill legalizing same-sex marriage.
Maine.
Right. Officials in Pakistan said they would scrap a peace deal with the blank and take aggressive action against them.
Taliban.
Right. The Supreme Court ordered a federal appeals court to reexamine its ruling over blank's 2004 wardrobe malfunction.
Janet Jackson.
Right. The wife of two-time presidential candidate blank broke her silence about his infidelity.
The candidate was Edwards.
Right. John Edwards. The mayor of London, England vowed to exercise more after seeing blank.
Pictures of himself.
Oh, not even worse, the Madame Tussauds wax version of himself. In a huge upset, 50-1 shot, Mine the Bird won this year's blank.
A Kentucky Derby.
Right, a group that educates teens about teen pregnancy named blank as their teen ambassador this week.
Sarah Palin's daughter?
Yes, Bristol Palin. When it became clear a doctor wasn't going to arrive in time, a British man was able to deliver his wife's baby by blanking.
Getting her to sneeze.
No, by... Does that work? I didn't know.
Yes.
By Googling the phrase, how to deliver a baby.
Aww.
Mark Stevens was in a panic. He realized his wife, Jo, was going to have her baby before help arrived. But then he remembered the wonder of the internets.
Aww.
Said Stevens, I Googled how to deliver a baby, watched a few videos, and basically swatted up. And no, I have no idea what that means. For our first, I spent most of my time at my wife's head. Now I'm not afraid to go down to the business end, he said. Carl, how did Amy do in her quiz?
Amy had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. Amy now has 13 points and the lead.
Wow.
Very well done, Amy. I needed it.
You flipped a coin. Paula has elected to go last. So, Paul, you're up. Fill in the blank.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The White House announced plans to release controversial photos of Air Force One taken over blank.
New York City.
Right. After weeks of speculation on Thursday, the Treasury Department released the results of its first round of blanks for banks.
Stress tests.
Right. Best known for his movies with Burt Reynolds and Mel Brooks, actor-comedian blank died at age 75. Right. A California man was arrested after a flight from Vietnam when airport officials caught him blanking.
Smuggling.
Smuggling
birds.
What? Yes, birds
strapped
in his pants.
To his personage.
Yes. Connie Culp, the woman who went through the first blank transplant, spoke to reporters.
Face
for the first
transplant.
Time. Right. Social networking sites, Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter all got a new member this week, blank.
Barack Obama.
Right, the White House. A bakery in Croatia was robbed almost weekly before they put a blank in their store window.
Camera?
A life-size photo of Chuck Norris? With a sign saying, this shop is under the protection of Chuck Norris. According to store clerk Mirna Kovac, quote, to be honest, we just started that as a joke, but it's really worked. Thieves haven't been anywhere near us for ages. We've had a few customers come in and ask us whether they can get Chuck's autograph. Unquote.
You know, what's really high security?
What?
Running one of his movies in
there. There you go. Carl, how did Paul do in our quiz?
Paul had 6 correct answers, 12 more points. He now has 16 points, and Paul has taken the lead.
Well done. All right. Carl, how many then does Paula need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
All right, Paula. Here we go. This is for the game. Mm. On Thursday, the Obama administration announced $17 billion in blank.
Aid.
No, budget cuts. No. Former vice presidential candidate and football player blank died at age 73.
Jack Kemp.
That's right. 12 people were injured when an air-supported canopy over the blank's practice field collapsed last Saturday.
Some football team.
Specifically?
The New Orleans Saints.
No, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Thousands of people were evacuated as wildfires swept through blank.
Santa Barbara.
Right. After a brawl broke out at a costume party at the Welcome Family Holiday Park in Britain, blank, blank, and blank spent the night in a police cell.
Blank, blank, and blank. Brooke Shields and...
Go with the Three Stooges.
Sutherland.
No, it was Spider-Man, Tinky Winky, and Oompa Loompa. After testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs, blank was suspended for 50 games.
Manny Ramirez.
Right. More than 40 musicians performed at a Madison Square Garden benefit concert to celebrate blank's 90th birthday.
Pete Seeger.
Right. After a supermarket refused to sell him alcohol while he was in uniform, a British paramedic blanked.
He stripped into flip-flops and a G-string and went back in.
That's exactly what he did. Although technically, it was his thong underwear and socks. The 40-something EMT just wanted the bottle of wine, but the clerk wouldn't break the rules and sell it to him because he was in uniform. So he went back to his car, stripped down, came back, said, "Now I'm not wearing my uniform anymore. Will you serve me now?" Sadly for the man, the clerk refused again, but other shoppers were delighted by the scene. One woman said, quote, "Normally people would pay to see a man in uniform strip, but we got a free show," unquote. Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula needed at least 6 to tie, but Paula had just 5 correct answers. So with 16 points, Paul Provenza is this week's champion.
Coming up from behind.
Well done, Paul.
Nice job.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, now that we've seen the Star Trek backstory, what will be the subject of the next big screen prequel? And if you have a prediction you'd like to share, you can send it to us at twitter.com/waitwait. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Scott, taking a green step with Scott Naturals bath tissue, towels, napkins, and flushable moist wipes at scottcommonsense.com/naturals. The National Association of Realtors, whose members recognize that every market is different, a realtor is a member of the National Association of Realtors. And CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight, 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel, to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Ali Lang. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lindemann composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what is the next big prequel going to set it up for us? Paul Provenza.
Yeah, that's going to be the big Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me prequel. Carl Castle and the Answering Machine of Doom.
Amy Dickinson.
Laverne and Shirley and Lenny and Squeaky in middle school.
And Paula Poundstone.
Prequel episodes to The Partridge Family with Keith door slamming while struggling to learn to play the guitar. Shirley getting her master's in scarf knots. And one where Danny murders his father because he had no talent for the band.
Well, if any of those movies show up at the Cineplex panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Paul Provenza, Amy Dickinson, Paula Poundstone. Thanks to all of you for listening. Yes, you are good. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week in Washington, D.C. This is NPR, National Public Radio.